pronounce. But he's thanking them for the part that they've had in his lives while he ministered there. He was at Corinth for about a year and a half. And God used him mightily to plant a church in a Gentile city. Most people estimate Corinth was around 1 million people. Great things happened, but the church had some issues. And Paul had to write this epistle to straighten out some of those issues. Some were doctrinal, some were practical, and their behavior and so forth. But he wanted to finish the book by acknowledging some people that were a blessing to him. And he specifically mentioned some people that were addicted to the ministry of the saints. And I believe God wants every one of us to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. That's one of the reasons why he left us here, was to be a blessing to one another, to be a help and encouragement to one another. And that is who he's encouraging here and reminding them about this morning, people that were a blessing to him and to others. Now he starts off by reminding us in verse 14 that all things should be done with charity. You cannot serve the Lord effectively if you're not doing it with God's love. You know, Jesus said in John 13, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. By this one thing, he said, if you have love one to another. God wants us to love one another as he loves us. Is that a challenge? Of course it is. But with the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we can do this. We've been talking about this on Wednesday nights there in 1 John chapter 4 about God's love. God doesn't want us to love one another based on their qualities. He wants us to love one another based on who he is, independent of the people that we're loving. And does God not do that for us? If God only loved us based on our behavior, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Because we're sinners and we fail him. Even after we're saved, we fail him and make mistakes. He keeps loving us. And God wants us to do the same. He wants everything to be done with charity. And so in verse 15, he mentions the house, specifically the house of Stephanas. He says that they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. If you're going to be an addict, this will be something good to be addicted to. Not booze or drugs, but the ministry of the saints. Now that is something God is okay with us getting addicted to. Ministering to others. When Jesus Christ came to the earth, if you go to Matthew 20, he told us that one of his purposes of coming was to serve, was to minister to others. Notice Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26. Jesus says here, it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Look at the next verse. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said, I came to minister. He didn't come to rule. That comes later. He didn't come to judge. That comes later. He came to minister. He came to serve. And he says that he wants us to be servants as well. The Bible says, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And so it's God's will that we be addicted to the ministry of the saints. If you will go to 1 Corinthians 12, same book that we're in this morning, Paul here is talking about ministering to the body. Talking about the body of Christ, fellow believers in Jesus. Notice 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 22. The Bible says, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. that there should be no schism, no division, no issues. God wants us to be ministering one to another. And so in this passage back in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul gave us four practical ways that we can addict ourselves to the ministry of the saints. Firstly, in verse 16, he says that you should submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us. This is where it gets practical. If we're going to be addicted to the ministry of the saints, then we are going to help one another. Help one another. Go to Romans 15, please, verse 1. Romans 15, verse 1. Notice the Bible says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." If we're going to be addicted to the ministry of saints, then we're going to help one another. And that includes, as it says here, bearing the infirmities of the weak. There's always going to be weak ones. There's always going to be those who have infirmities. God wants us to help one another with those things. So look for opportunities to be a blessing. We're told in Galatians chapter 6, bear ye one another's burdens. We all have burdens. It's part of being a Christian. But God wants us to bear one another's. When you hear of a burden, when you hear of an infirmity, when you hear of an issue, when you hear of a need, God wants us to help one another whenever we can, to be addicted to the ministry of the saints, looking for those opportunities. How can I be a blessing to my brothers and sisters? How can I help this person with their burdens and their infirmities? He goes on to say in our passage, verse 16, it says, "And laboreth." God not only wants us to help one another, but wants us to serve one another. Actually labor, work, help, and serve one another. Now, if you would look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, God says that He's given us amazing liberty in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and He has. But He says that that liberty isn't so that we can serve ourselves. That liberty is so we can serve others. Galatians 5:13. Look at that with me. It says, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." If we're going to be addicted to the ministry of saints, we're not only going to help one another, but we're going to serve one another. As Jesus said, "He that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Do we look for opportunities to serve others? Or are we busy serving ourselves? We need to be looking for those opportunities. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will reveal them. He will. He'll show us. See, there's a brother, there's a sister that needs some help. There's someone with a burden that you can help with. There's someone you can serve. Because that's the greatest compliment God could ever pay us, is to call us His servant. We're here to serve one another. If you look at 1 John 4:11, please, another great passage about God's love flowing through us. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 11. The Bible says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." So now we've been given the measure of this service. How much did God love us? What did God do to manifest that love to us? Sacrifice? Giving His all on our behalf? If God so loved us, if He loved us that much, and He showed that love in such an amazing way, we ought also to love one another in the same way. So if we're going to be addicted to the ministry of saints, which is God's will, we need to be looking for opportunities to help one another and to serve one another. Moving on. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 17, he says, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus." And by the way, we'll meet them in heaven someday, and then they can tell us how to properly pronounce their names. "For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied." Paul is saying, "I'm planting churches all over the region. There's a lot involved in planting churches. Not just the spiritual. He needed prayer, he needed encouragement, but even the physical. There were a lot of physical needs. And he says that these particular people who were addicted to the ministry of the saints, they supplied my specific needs. They saw a need that I had and they supplied it. And that's part of being addicted to the ministry of the saints. Go to Philippians 4, please. I want to show you a verse that a lot of Christians quote. Philippians 4:19. Very common verse, beautiful verse about God meeting our needs. But it's important that we understand the context of this verse. Now, most of us know verse 14. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Great truth. God will provide our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, verse 19. But notice verse 18. But I have all and abound, and I'm having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So the context is Paul, the missionary, the church planter, writing to the church at Philippi and says, thank you for the special gifts. Thank you for the sacrifices you've made on my behalf as one of God's missionaries, as one of God's church planters. Thank you. And now because you've supplied my needs, God's missionary, I'm going to supply your needs. Or God's going to supply your needs. That's the context of Philippians 4:19. Is if we're on fire for God's program, which we have a missions conference coming up here in a month, an opportunity to be reminded how important it is that we get excited about missions. If we get involved in trying to help and be a blessing to God's missionaries, what does God say in return? My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But we're talking here about specific physical needs. God wants us to understand that if we're addicted to the ministry of saints, that includes not only serving others and helping others in their burdens and their infirmities, but also meeting specific needs. Look at 1 John 3, please. I know I turn to this passage a lot, but it's just so practical when we're talking about loving one another with our actions. And we're specifically here talking about meeting the needs of others, other brothers and sisters. Notice 1 John 3:17. Whoso hath this world's good and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The key there is seeth his brother have need. God will point those things out. Paul said, I had some needs for serving there at Corinth, for planting churches, and you, these particular people, were a blessing to me. They supplied my needs. Thank you. Here God is saying, if we see our brother have need, what should our response be? Meet it. He doesn't say to pray about it. You see, this is how God's program is supposed to work. If we see, okay, this person has a need. Here's the need. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to pray. God, please provide that need. God says, you don't need to go pray and provide the need if you have the means to meet it yourself. Just meet it. Done. That's how it works. You know, we often quote Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. The next phrase says, shall men give into your bosom? We talk a lot about God meeting our needs, and He does. God's wonderful in that way. But does God drop it right out of the sky into our laps? Nope. If we're praying in our prayer closet for a specific thing, when God answers it, does it come crashing down through the roof and land there at our knees? Nope. God sends it to another person. That's how it works. Shall men give into your bosom? That's how it's supposed to work. If we're addicted to the ministry of saints, then we're addicted to meeting the needs of our brothers and sisters when we see them. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is the power of thine hand to do it. If you've got the means, if you've got the power to do it, God says, don't withhold it. Just do it. Meet the need. So part of being addicted is not only helping others, not only serving others, not only meeting others' needs, but lastly, look what Paul says here in verse 18 of our passage, 1 Corinthians 16. He says, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledging them that are such. So in the third thing, he mentioned he emphasized the physical. Now he's emphasizing the spiritual. If we're addicted to the ministry of saints, we're not only going to help and serve and try to meet one another's physical needs, but we're also going to try to be a blessing to others spiritually. This word refreshed, it's a good word, isn't it? It says, they have refreshed my spirit. Paul was human too. Paul got down sometimes too. Paul was constantly getting attacked, not only verbally, but sometimes with stones, sometimes thrown into prison. And just like us, sometimes he needed refreshed. He needed a brother or sister to just come along and say, I love you. And just be an encouragement to that person and lift them up. Paul needed it just as much as we do. This refreshing. And that's part of being addicted to the mystery of the saints. Looking for someone that we can just be a refreshment to. You know, when you think about refreshment, you think about that cold drink on a hot day. Well, some of you drink hot drinks on a hot day, but you know what I mean. Refreshment. And that's what Paul is encouraging here. He mentioned another man in 2 Timothy named Onesiphorus. And he said, he oft refreshed me. In Colossians, he mentioned some other people. And he said, they were my fellow workers and they were a comfort unto me. Often in his epistles, he would finish the last part of the book by mentioning specific people in that area or whatever that were a blessing to him, that were a refreshment to him. And that's what God wants us to be. Addicted to the ministry of the saints, to be helping one another, to be serving one another, meeting one another's needs, and being a refreshment and encouragement to one another. Look at Romans chapter 12, if you would, verse 15. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. The Bible says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. There it is. That's part of that refreshing, isn't it? If they're hurting, you cry with them. If they're rejoicing, you rejoice with them. And God has a lot to say about words like admonish, edify, exhort. That all falls under this refreshing one another, being a blessing to one another. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let me show you a couple scriptures. You know, in Proverbs it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. God says that true Christian friends should build each other up. But notice Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So there's one of the words that would fall under refreshing, admonishing. Another one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn there if you would. Just over to the right, one book. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Now look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Next chapter over. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And then one other passage, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Over a couple more books, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. The Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So this word refreshing, these are some other words you could use. Admonish, comfort, edify, exhort. In other words, build each other up spiritually. Be an encouragement to one another. Paul says, thank you to those that were addicted to the ministry of the saints. Thank you. I want to specifically name some of you. Imagine having your name mentioned in God's preserved holy word as someone that was a blessing to God's man. That's the case with these people. And they weren't mentioned because they were great preachers or great missionaries. They were mentioned because they were a blessing to Paul. They just wanted to be a blessing to God's man. And they were addicted to the ministry. And I believe God wants us to be too. Look for those opportunities to be a help. Look for those opportunities to serve one another. Look for those opportunities to meet one another's needs and to refresh one another, as Paul mentioned here. Addicted to the ministry of the saints. What a blessing. I hope that we can all commit to being addicted like these people were.